Let us give our petitions up to God, our praises to him. And while we're coming, let us remember those who are on our sick and shut-in list: Sisters Ida Green, Josie Pugh, Valerie Tate, Gracie L. Harris, Hermaine Shaw, Juanita Wade, Geneva Langford, Martha Starks, Virginia Winstead. Let us remember our brothers, Charles Hazard, Daniel Kellum, I saw him here today, and Brother Richard Miles. Let us remember in our prayer the Reverend David L. Snorton and family, and Pastor Emeritus Reverend James L. Snorton and family, our children and their parents, our church ministries, Courtney Baltimore, Roderick Ballard, the women at KCIW, Louisville Central Community Centers, Simmons College of Kentucky, Louisville Theological Seminary Black Church Studies Department, and the West End School. And you may also have some names that are on your heart. Go ahead and call them out right now. Lee family, Henderson family, Shannon Shondell. Father God, we come to you this morning just saying thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you are a great God. You are such an awesome God, Lord, and we just say thank you. You started us off even at our early existence and brought us all the way even to right now, Lord. And all of the ups and downs in life, as we look back, we've seen that you were there, that you have guided us and led us to this point. And we say thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would bless all of those who are on our sick and shut-in list, that you would give them what they stand in need of in this hour, that you would help them, Lord, to deal with the situations that they're dealing with, that you would bless those who are in charge of their care, that you would help them, Lord, to be strengthened by your presence. And Father, we continue to ask your blessing on this church and on our pastor, the Reverend David L. Snorton. Lord, we pray that you would touch him, give him guidance, and give him everything that he stands in need of, Lord. Bless him today, Lord, as he comes forth to bring your word. Help us, Lord, to hear those things that you would have us to hear, and to do those things, Lord, quickly that we have heard. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless our children and keep them safe as they are in school. Give them insight and wisdom, Lord, that would help them to do the work that they are assigned. Oh, Father, bless those behind prison walls. Even though they're locked up, Lord, you're not locked out, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for all of your many blessings, but we ask you, first of all, for to forgive us of our sins. And thank you for Jesus, who you gave in order to be a propitiation for our sins. It's in the matchless and the marvelous name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Awesome. 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 for leading us in our songs of praise today. We thank God that you showed up. It just wouldn't be the same if you weren't here. And we thank the Lord for the good, the bad, and the ugly. You can learn some things about the Lord during difficult times that you can't learn about the Lord any other time. Amen. I want to share with you today out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to look at verses 17 through 21. I want to read those verses in your hearing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. And hear God's words speak to us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making this appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Amen. If I had to tag this today, I would simply tag it, becoming the righteousness of God. Becoming the righteousness of God. Last week, we were reminded that the church is not a building, but rather an assembly of people drawn to God through Jesus Christ. And it is Christ Jesus that also keeps us together. The church is substantiated by the confession of who Jesus is, being the Son of the living God. It is on this confession of who Jesus is that we baptize new believers into our faith community. Now, let me be clear. This is a confession. That means it's personal because it's yours. That means you are convinced by what you have experienced in Christ. It is not a confession. If it's not a confession, if it's not personal, and if you're not convinced, and if you're not willing to submit and commit to God, then you're merely just saying words and not meaning them, then it becomes an empty confession and will keep you and can't keep you when trouble comes. But for those who sincerely call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, they shall be saved. This is who the church is. For those that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But today I want to talk about what the church, the assembly of God, and what we should be all about. Our mission at Joshua is to redeem the lost, build up the fellowship, and relieve the oppressed. It's inspired from the Great Commission that Jesus gave in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20, where it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the ages. In essence, we're to make disciples, not our own disciples, but disciples of Christ Jesus. What others have done for us, we are to pass it on and do for others. Baptizing them, teaching them to obey the teachings and commandments of Christ. That is our mission. Redeem the lost. Build up the fellowship, and relieve the oppressed. To redeem the lost, the church can't see people as they are, but they have to see them as who they are in Christ Jesus. That all people are sinners in need of God's grace-saving power. This is who Christ died for, those that are in need of a physician, those that have been led astray. That is a divine work that only comes from God. But we're also to build up the fellowship. That is to grow in our relationship with one another. Ours is an intimate faith that seeks to know God and be known by God and seeks to know others and be known by others as well. It is wanting the best for others just as you want the best for yourself. It's caring for the church and doing the work of the church, caring for the most vulnerable, those in prison, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked without prejudice, relieve the oppressed. That too is the work of the church, to address the plight of societal ills that deny one's dignity and humanity as a creation of God. Jesus tells his disciples in Luke 12:11, that when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourselves or what you should say. God wants us to even be a witness to the powers and principalities and rulers in high places. That's what the church should do, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and then teach others to obey all that Christ has commanded. But then, what is really our motivation? Have you ever heard of, I don't know if you've ever been, but have you ever heard of some Christians that when they find out that you're not coming to their church, then they stop trying to tell you about Christ? You ever heard of that? When you go visit and they find out that you got a church home, that they stop talking to you and they kind of turn a little cold. I don't know if you ever witnessed it before. Have you ever heard that? Then I wonder what really is our motivation to make disciples. Motivation is important because whatever motivates us will also dictate our attitude and how we treat people as well. Scripture tells us in Matthew 22:34, that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And on these two commandments, you can hang all of the laws and the prophets. Love is to be our motivation for redeeming the lost, building up the fellowship, and relieving the oppressed. Love is the reason we should make disciples for Christ. For love, the Bible says, isn't burdensome. It's not a burden to go reach people for Christ when you do it out of the context of love. For John 14:15 says, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Love, that's our motivation. Love for God that causes us to love God's children and God's creation. 1 John 4:19-21 reveals to us, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he sees cannot love God who he can't see. Making disciples is our mission. Love is our motivation. But what exactly is our purpose? Why make disciples to begin with? What is the end game? I know we're commanded to do so. I understand that love should be our motivation. But what is the outcome we hope to see? What difference does salvation really make? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In the church, there should be some transformation. In the church, they may not be perfect, but you should be getting better. In the church, you're no longer bound by your past failures and mistakes, but you can praise God for his new mercies every day. Verse 18 says, All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This gift comes from God through Christ Jesus. God reconciled us that we can reconcile one another. This is the purpose of making disciples, and to be reconciled means we are to have the same mind in us that's in Christ Jesus. It means we agree that sin is sin and we are in need of a Savior. That's what salvation looks like down here on earth. It looks like people being reconciled, relationships being fixed, hearts being mended, broken people being healed. And if you don't love one another down here, you can't claim that you love God up there. That's what salvation looks like. And it's not just a personal salvation, because we're talking about reconciliation through the church. That means not only is it personal, but it's institutional. It doesn't just transform your life, but it'll transform your family. It'll transform where you work. It'll transform your community. It has the potential and the power to transform your city. It has the capability of changing the values and situations of your state and even the country. That is what reconciliation really looks like. This Wednesday, we were talking about this topic of reconciliation. And I asked the question, is the church the kingdom of God here on earth, or is it just a representative? And let's say, for argument's sake, that it is the kingdom of God on earth. And if it is the kingdom of God on earth, my question would be, then what does that mean for other people that don't go to our church? What does it mean for the AMEs that don't go to Joshua? What does it mean for the CMEs if they don't? What it means for the Lutherans and the evangelicals? What does it mean for those churches in suburbia if this church is the kingdom of God right here on earth? What does it mean for the church of Christ that may have a different idea about what it means to be Christian? What does it mean to us if Southeast Christian is the kingdom of God on earth? What does it mean for us if it's St. Stephen's that is the kingdom of God? What does it mean if it's Bethel that is? Now, you do understand that we all can't be the kingdom, but maybe we can be a representation. For the Bible says that we are ambassadors given the ministry of reconciliation. That means you are a representative of, but you're not the thing itself. It means that you're one sinner telling another sinner where they can go get some salvation. It means that you know where to point to because you know that you're not it yourselves. It means when you fall down, you can tell somebody, God still loves me and I know how to get back up. It means that even the church don't have to be perfect, but we can serve and worship a perfect God. It means you ain't got to get it straight before you get in here. But if you get in here, God can get in you and straighten out whatever's crooked, make firm whatever's fallen, help you when you need some help, dry your tears when you mess up. The Lord can be your friend when you're friendless. He'll be your lawyer when you get in some trouble. He'll give you good news when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, I don't know what to do. You ain't got to have it all together. You just got to represent. We just got to be a light that points to a brighter light. But we got to know we're not the one, but we're pointing to the one that is. We may not have it all, but we know who has it all. We may not know it all, but we know who we can put our trust in. It tells us we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And this is the appeal. Whosoever will, let them come. You don't have to get straightened out first. Whosoever will, let them come. You may have problems and burdens that you can't handle. Whosoever will, let him come. You may be confused in your mind about who you are. Whosoever will, let him come. You may have a bad family upbringing and memories, don't even know who mama and daddy is. Whosoever will, let him come. We may not always know all the answers, but we point to the one that has the answers for life. If you're willing, why don't you come? We open up the doors of the church today that you may receive this ministry of reconciliation. Just as God wants to repair whatever's broken in your life, he wants to mend relationships, and he wants to mend his relationship that you have with him. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Not just say, but confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart. Not just saying what somebody told you to say, but you believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. Whosoever will. Let them come. Let us stand as we're led in this song. The Lord is calling to you today.
Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Give
this
me
is your invitation. The Lord is calling.
That will bring
how will you respond?
Words on the wings of the morning, the dark nights will fade away if you speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, message of love to encourage me, lifting my heart.
Amen.
From despair.
Is there another?
How you love me and care for me. If you speak to my heart, speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, give me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of the morning, the dark nights will fade away if you speak to my heart. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart. My heart, speak to my heart, speak to my heart.